More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, the Great Divide. Are you struggling with a broken relationship, having a hard time seeing a way to heal? We're going to help you bridge the gap. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, the show is titled The Great Divide, as we look at those relationships that are broken in some way. Either we're struggling in those relationships, or we've been cut off in some way. So if you're having a difficulty feeling connected to someone you care about, maybe a disagreement or hurt feelings are coming between you and that person, or maybe things are so bad that they have cut you off, how can you begin to bridge the gap? How do you create that connection again? Let us help you discover the next steps toward healing. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
This is so painful. You know, when we're feeling that divide with someone we care about, whether it's someone we live with 24 hours a day, our spouse, our children, our parents, or it's somebody that is a friend or somebody who's a member of our extended family. And we're thinking, how did this happen? How did we get from who we were, that the closeness we had, to this? And what in the world do I do about it? It can cause our hearts so much pain. It can be so difficult to know what to do. Often our attempts are frustrated by their reactions to our attempts. So how do you handle it? How do you bring peace to your heart and healing to that relationship? Or should you? You know, that is often the question. Even if it's causing you pain, is that a relationship that you should try to heal? That's something that we can help you discern as well today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
So whether that relationship with that particular person in your life is strained or actually broken, let's talk about what it would take to heal it, whether it's safe to heal it, and where do you go from here? 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And for folks who aren't aware of what that is, the Theology of the Body was a series of reflections given by St. John Paul over the course of about 5 years that provided a lens for us to see how the Gospels, really all of salvation history, reveal God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships.
The Theology of the Body reminds us that we were created for communion, for deep, healthy, and holy relationships with others. And that the most important thing we can spend our time and energy on is cultivating as much closeness as we can in all of the relationships we participate in. People tend to think that building the kingdom of God involves doing really big things for Jesus. You know, doing projects, volunteering at the parish, getting involved. And those things can be important. But the primary way we're called to build God's kingdom is by working to heal the damage that sin has done or wants to do to our relationships. The kingdom of God is built bit by bit, through the efforts we make to overcome the obstacles that make it difficult to connect heart to heart and soul to soul.
Well, that's right. And we're destined to spend eternity in intimate union with God and the communion of saints. Well, doing the work we need to do in this life to make our relationships whole and holy helps us prepare for that heavenly communion. It's true that there are some relationships that can't or won't be healed or fully realized this side of heaven, sadly. And God doesn't expect us to fix every broken relationship on our own power alone. But the more we focus our energy on at least attempting to cultivate as much closeness, intimacy, openness, and love as we can with the people in our lives, the more we're cooperating with God's grace and preparing ourselves to participate in that ultimate union in heaven. So, if you are experiencing a divide in your relationships, maybe you're struggling to connect with someone you care about because the relationship is strained, or maybe it's broken altogether and they've cut you off or you can't figure out a way to reconnect, we're here to help you identify those next steps. 877-573-7825.
Perhaps you want to make sure that doesn't happen, but you can see that it could because there's a difference of opinion between you and someone you care about. No matter what that opinion is or involves, whether it's very personal or on a larger level, and you're seeing that you're suddenly walking on eggshells. You're suddenly tiptoeing and questioning what you're saying because this could harm the relationship. So whether it's just starting or something you've been dealing with for a while, let us help you find healing for yourself and for those relationships today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
And again, the show is titled The Great Divide, where we're talking about strained or broken relationships. If there's someone in your life that you're looking to rebuild or strengthen connection with, whether that's your spouse, kids, adult kids, family members, parents, you name it, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
And I also want to invite a lot of our callers who called in yesterday while we were discussing narcissism, and there were so many that we couldn't fit everyone in. Well, certainly narcissism causes division in relationships. So if you're saying, I really wanted to ask that question, I wish I could call in today, well, it certainly fits the bill. So go ahead and give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your questions. In the name of the
Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we bring to you all those relationships that are strained or broken, and we ask you for the grace that we need to create connection, to build healthy, holy relationships with all of the people in our lives, especially those people who are important to us, but where we are struggling to connect with them because of disagreements, conflicts, hurt feelings, or offenses. Lord, we ask you to give us the wisdom that we need to break through those barriers, to begin to find common ground, and to discover ways to reconnect despite those differences, so that we can build your kingdom even in the face of the struggles and differences we experience. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Well, today on More to Life, the show is titled The Great Divide, as we talk about those strained or even broken relationships. If you're having a hard time finding a way to heal, or even identifying the next steps, we want to help you bridge the gap, whether that is a strained relationship with your spouse, a strained or broken relationship with adult kids, with your parents, with extended family members, a friend who is important to you, or anyone else that you care about. If you're experiencing that strained or broken relationship due to disagreements or hurt feelings or you don't know what, let's talk it out and find the next steps forward at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Janine, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New Jersey on Domestic Church Radio.
Hi, Janine. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
So I have a question about a situation. I recently got separated from my husband. My parish priest told me to leave immediately due to emotional abuse and narcissism. So I just had a baby with my husband. We were only married for a year or less than a year. And as soon as my daughter was born, my husband became really depressed and anxious and abusive. And I started seeing a therapist to see if there was a way to communicate with him. And she said that he had narcissism and possible, like, demonic possession. And she was a Catholic therapist. But my parish priest told me to leave. And it's been really hard because we had to go to court for custody. They gave us both. I've been trying to work things out with him because I'm afraid he's into occult studies and he doesn't want me to raise the baby Catholic, which he promised when we got married. Yes. Was like the one thing I insisted that he promised that I could raise the baby Catholic. But I made a lot of mistakes, obviously, in my life. But so now I was curious, like, I didn't know if I should just go back to him to protect my baby because at least I would be there with her. So I tried to stay over a couple times and maybe if we could find a way to at least be at a point that's not abusive for our baby, then maybe I could move back in to protect and at least like buffer some of the stuff that would happen as she got older. But It just immediately goes back to emotional abuse, like almost immediately.
So how can we help you today, Janine?
Well, my question, I guess, is do you guys have any tips for co-parenting? Like, what am I looking at moving forward? How do I co-parent with this person? And also, like, I want to share Jesus with him. And every single time I bring it up, I'm scared that he will use it against me in court because he brought up that I'm like a religious fanatic because I go to mass every day and I have like, you know, my parents have statues in their house and he thinks that that's like a cult kind of thing. But I'm afraid to even talk to him about Jesus and I don't even know if it's helpful because I'm afraid that I'm going to like lose custody of the baby if I go too far with it. So like, what would your, I guess, suggestions be in this situation?
Well, I want you to continue working with your pastor and your counselor because, you know, there's nothing I can say that would, you know, I don't have the knowledge and the inside information that they do. So I want you to continue getting the pastoral guidance from your priest and working with your counselor to know how to set appropriate boundaries here. I would say that in general, what you want to be focusing on is living as healthy and godly a life and creating as loving, connected, and stable home as you possibly can. The best witness that you can show your husband long-term is that you are healthy and as happy as you can be under the circumstances, and that you and your child are bonding and creating a strong, loving relationship and a stable, loving household. You know, it sounds to me like he's pretty chaotic and confused and struggling and in a lot of pain, and he's going to have a hard time doing that. And so being able to look to you and see that your faith is the source of a strong and stable and loving household is the best way to witness to him. Now, he may not get that. He may be absolutely closed to that. That's not your job to make him get it. It's just our job to extend an invitation, very much like Jesus did with the rich young man, you know, where the rich young man came to Jesus and said, I do all these things, I keep all the commandments, but I want more. What can I do? And Jesus says, you know, sell all that you have, give the money to the poor, and come and follow me. And the rich young man decided he couldn't afford to do that. And so he walked away sad. Well, you know, Jesus didn't chase him down the street and say, well, you know what, I just meant, well, how about we just do like 2% and we can work up the rest, you know. You know, at the other hand, if the man came back the next day and said, I thought about it, and I'm sorry, Lord, I didn't accept your invitation at first, but I want to accept it now, then Jesus would have taken him back. My point is, you know, even the Lord can't make someone accept him. He extends an invitation, and then he allows us to choose. That's what you need to do with your husband, to show him, with your own life and example, what a healthy, holy, stable, loving household looks like, by focusing on getting yourself to a healthy place, building that strong relationship with your daughter, creating a stable home life that's pleasant and joyful. That's what we'll witness to him. Because if it, you know, now he may complain about it, he may attack you for it, but you're able to stay strong through that. He's going to see the strength there, right? And you're not, so you're not having to talk about your Jesus to him. You're not having to, you know, beat him over the head with the Gospels or the Catechism, because you're showing it to him. You know, you're witnessing to him through that life. Again, though, I think that in the situation that you're describing, when you're dealing with a manipulative, diagnosed narcissist who, you know, has as many difficulties as he has, you're going to need to be getting ongoing pastoral and counseling support, and I cannot underline that enough. So please keep working with your counselor and your pastor to know how to set the appropriate boundaries that you're going to need to set to keep yourself safe and healthy and your baby safe and healthy as well. And also make sure that you're getting good legal help.
Yes, very much so. Make sure that you have good legal help that's pretty much on speed dial. And if you do feel like he is dangerous in any way, if there are little cues that are coming up, make sure you write down each one of those things in a notebook with the date and the time that it happens, so that you can work with an attorney to make sure that you're crafting a situation legally that would be easily accessed in case you feel like he's escalating.
I will say, you know, people like your husband, you know, they'll threaten things. But, I mean, as long as your home is stable and loving and happy, no court is going to take issue with the fact that you go to Mass every day or have statues in your home. That's, he's manipulating you that way. Don't worry about that. All right, Janine, that's all the time we've got for your call, but I hope that these suggestions will point you in the right direction. And if there's more that we can do to support you in the future, don't hesitate to reach out to us again. Thank you so much for the call. 877-573-7825. Our show today is titled The Great Divide. As we talk about those strained, struggling, or even broken relationships where you're having a difficulty connecting with somebody you care about, maybe the relationship is strained because there's a disagreement or hurt feelings between you and that person. Maybe things are so bad that they've actually cut you off. How do you bridge that gap? How do you begin to heal? Well, let's help you discover the next steps toward closing that gap, building some bridges. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with more conversation about creating connection, even in those strained and struggling relationships, when we come back right after the break.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I'm operating on the gifts of the Holy Spirit when I don't feel well, even when I'm annoyed, when I'm down and out. During my recovery from an automobile accident, immense numbers of people wrote to me and sent me emails, 50,000, and they told me how helpful they thought my talks on EWTN were to them. I'm delighted. But I want you to know, I'm nobody's fool. The talks that were helpful The sentences that were helpful, the phrases that were helpful, came from the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Styrofoam packaging came from me. I did that. And Styrofoam doesn't amount to very much.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for almost 20 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company, and it sent millions of dollars to thousands of pro-life charities. 5G coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. Live chat and a video introduction are available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living. Effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today on More to Life, we're talking about the Great Divide, those times when our relationships are strained or struggling or even broken. How do we find a way forward? 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Damon Owens from joyfuleverafter.org. That's a Theology of the Body-based marriage ministry that he and his wife, Melanie, run. Hey, Damon, welcome to More to Life. Damon, are you there?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hi, Damon.
Great.
Thanks for joining us. So, you know, we've been talking about how building the kingdom of God is really all about creating strong connection with others. What tips from the Theology of the Body can you offer to help encourage people who are struggling in their relationships?
Yeah, you know, one of the greatest encouragements for me is knowing that it's part of a greater plan. You know, there's even science and, practices of simple things like weight loss or, you know, doing something difficult for good reasons. And we're actually more motivated to do it for others than we are for ourselves. And when I hear things like that, I think about the connection between the relationships we make and the communions we have with one another in relationship, and the fact that that's part of our formation that began with the gift from God in his communion with us. You know, in a lot of Theology of the Body, we reflect on the origin story of Genesis 1, Genesis 2, and this inseparable connection between God and man. And yet when we really meditate and see this through, we see that this reality of communion is all of reality. It is the totality. It begins in God himself. It explains why we're made in his image and likeness. It explains the reason that we have relationships and communion with one another. And in fact, the entire gospel story of history is a restoring. Love the Lord God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And way before it's a moral question, you know, what's right or wrong, what's good or evil, way before that is the fundamental truth that this is who we are. And that to become fully alive, to be filled with joy, to be filled with purpose and meaning, to be fully human, is wrapped up in this call to do the hard work of building communion with others and building through friendships, even and maybe even especially through pain.
You know, you talk about this, and it's such a countercultural message to what people
yes.
are living now, which is so much
yes.
about, you know, feeling fulfilled, being in yourself, which getting to know yourself and who you are in Christ is no bad thing. You really can't offer
right.
to anybody else. But the idea that this is what we are made for, this relational communion, is mind-boggling. What would you say to people?
Yeah, and in a certain
saying,
sense,
I don't know how to do this.
Yeah, and I think, but this is it. And that peace in the work to do it is a peace that's derived from the what I think the Pope Benedict would say is the horizon of happiness. So the culture is looking for that immediate happiness in a very narrow and near horizon. But as Christians, we accept this eternal view that says we're becoming even as we are moving towards. So the big pivot isn't the desire for happiness. The big conflict is whether that happiness is meant to be in each and every present moment or whether we're created for something even greater over time.
Damon, two things. One, we're getting a little bit of feedback, so I don't know if you have a speaker up or something, if you could turn that down. But I did have a question for you, follow up on that. What about those situations where we can't make the relationship work on our own? You know, so are we expected to somehow bridge the gap all by ourselves?
No, and that's a beautiful transition, and I hope the feedback is better here.
It is, thank you.
You know, the work that we do to on ourselves, right? We're working out our salvation in fear and trembling. And in that sense, you know, each of these relationships, first and foremost, is about coming to the truth of who we are in order then to be able to make the gift and enter into communion with others. So the first communion that's made is that God first loved us and that we love our neighbor as ourselves. And we love God because he first loved us. So we can't look at the communion as an absolute sort of concretized failure. But because God is doing a work in us, we are becoming more human. And in that sense, we have multiple communions in our life, but all of them serve for, you know, for us in our formation. And it doesn't mean to sound selfish, but it is begins with the I in order then to be in gift and relation with an I thou. That's the philosophy behind it. So as long as we're loving and receiving God's love, then these relationships really become a means to salvation, not a measure of it.
Amen. Damon, thank you so much for being with us. And I know that you do a lot in your ministry, Joyful Ever After, to help couples create connection, even when they're struggling or estranged from each other. So if folks would like to learn more about the good work you do to build marriages and help couples create connection, I encourage everyone to go visit joyfuleverafter.org. My best to you and to Melanie as well.
Thank you so much. Always great being with you guys.
Thanks, Damon. We're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Our show today is titled The Great Divide. Are you struggling with a strained or broken relationship? Maybe you're having a hard time feeling connected to someone because of disagreements or hurt feelings that have come between you and that person. Or maybe things are so bad that they've cut you off and you're not sure how to reach out. How do you bridge the gap? Well, let us help you discover the next steps toward healing with your spouse, your adult child, your parents, extended family, a friend you care about, whoever it is. Let's help you build those connections. 877-573-7825.
Jesus calls his followers disciples. That's the word that we use in English. But really, in the Greek New Testament, it's the word for student. Now, you might say the school of Jesus Christ is more of a trade school or technical school than it is a liberal arts college, because in the school of Jesus Christ, you learn how to live like the master lives. But it is a school. The teacher isn't just passing along information. The teacher is passing along knowledge of the ultimate purposes of God. The master is passing along the knowledge of life and the will of God concerning man. The school of Jesus Christ is a real thing, and if we are disciples of his, we've entered into that school, and by paying attention to his teaching, we will conform our lives to his.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta, 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
What was Jesus' chief mission on earth? It was, the Catholic Catechism tells us, to achieve his Father's will, God's plan of salvation in the fullness of time. Jesus did this by preaching the good news, the arrival of the reign of God, which had been promised through the ages in Scripture. To fulfill the Father's will, Jesus ushered in the kingdom of heaven on earth. The kingdom is visible in the word and worship of Christ and in his presence in the church. The seed and beginning of the kingdom are the little flock Jesus gathered around him, the disciples and the 12 apostles, with Peter as the head. They are the foundation stones of the New Jerusalem. The church is born primarily as a result of Christ's total self-giving. The origin and growth of the church are symbolized by the blood and water that flowed from the crucified Christ's side. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Our children don't belong to us. They belong to God. God gives his earthly children earthly parents because he wants them to be able to feel his love through your body and see his face in your eyes. Christian moms and dads are meant to be the face of God to our kids. That's a beautiful thought, but it can be a little intimidating. Don't worry. God wants to parent with you, and he gives us his grace to raise his kids well. That said, this mindset requires us to be open to parenting differently than how we were raised or what comes naturally to us. No matter how good your parents were,
they weren't as perfect as our Heavenly Father is. And no matter how well we turned out, we aren't saints. Yet, every day, ask God to help you be the parent He wants you to be. Ask Him to give you the grace to love generously, correct gently, and let your kids know that you delight in the gift they are to you. Pray that God will help you be the parent He's calling you to be and enable you to bring out the best in your kids. To learn more, check out our book, Parenting Your Kids with Grace, or visit CatholicHOM.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today's show is titled The Great Divide, as we talk about those relationships that are strained, struggling, or even broken. Maybe a disagreement or hurt feelings are coming between you and that person you care about. Or maybe things are so bad they've cut you off. And whether we're talking about your relationship with a spouse, your adult kids, your parents, extended family, a friend that you've fallen out with, we want to help you build connection and start healing those relationships. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Susan, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New York.
Hi, Susan. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Oh, hi. Thank you very much for taking my call. I just wanted to say I really enjoy your guys' show and everything.
Thank you so much.
Today about my sister-in-law. It's my husband's sister. And she was raised Catholic till she was about 16. And then she left the Catholic faith and became Mennonite because at the time her boyfriend, who's now her husband, he was Mennonite. So she's very anti-Catholic. And for the past, 10 years, she's been kind of passive-aggressive to me, never in front of my husband. So I've always told my husband about this because it is his sister. So we finally had a phone call with her in, the beginning of January. And through much prodding and talking about it and everything, she basically told us that our Catholic faith is wrong and her Mennonite faith is right. And one of the things she always questioned was, because you're Catholic, do you think because I'm Mennonite I'm not going to heaven? So I really think we haven't actually questioned her about this, but she thinks that because we're Catholic, we're probably not going to go to heaven. And she bases her beliefs, her Mennonite beliefs, on a sense of community, pacifism, and that Vatican II said, don't read the Bible. So these are the things she said to us. So the problem is, we are going to Florida in February, and she has a place down there, and we are supposed to stay with her for 2 nights at her condo down there. And we haven't talked to her since this conversation, and my husband was going to call her and try to talk to her. And it just seems like we can't really have a deep conversation with her. It's very superficial, and she's, has this passive-aggressive attitude towards our faith. So I guess my question is, how does my husband even start the conversation? What do we even say to her, to kind of go in the direction of healing or at least to have less of a superficial relationship with her?
Well, I think you need to address it directly and charitably. And I think what that would look like is before you go down there, you kind of call her up and say, look, we respect your faith. We respect your faith journey. We understand that there are differences. And we're happy to talk about those differences if you're willing to have a respectful conversation where you're actually wanting to know what we think and what we believe and what our church teaches. What we can't tolerate is the disrespect where you're mean or judgmental or unkind to us because of our faith. We're happy to talk with you about any questions you've got. We're happy to not talk about it at all if that's what it takes because we love you. And we respect that God is leading you in your journey and that we need you to respect that God is leading us as well. We're happy to pray with you. We're happy to have conversations with you. We're happy to do whatever you like. But what we can't handle is you being cruel, unkind, and uncharitable toward us because of our faith. And I would think, sister-in-law, that your own faith would have something to say about the kind of, unkind, judgmental, cruel, frankly, behavior that you've shown sometimes. So what do we need to do to get past that? So that if you want to have conversations, if you want to pray together, if you want to talk about these things, we can have those conversations, but leave this other stuff behind.
And I would not hesitate to say to her, as Christians, we are called to love one another. And we really want to be in a sense of Christian unity with you, even if we celebrate that in slightly different ways. And then move on with, you know, what Greg is saying here. I think a lot of this is coming from a defensiveness that I'm hearing, that she thinks somehow you guys are judging her. That there's an underlying thing there that seems like it might be. So really being very forthright about this and saying, you know, we love you as a sister in Christ, and we don't want this in our way. And then being direct about it really could clear the air.
I just think that it's important to give her a direct way to have these conversations. They say, we're absolutely open to discussing these things. If you have questions, you have concerns, let's talk about it. As long as you really have a listening heart and a charitable heart. We don't want to do this in a way that is disrespectful or unkind. And I think you want to reassure her that, you know, we don't judge you for the decisions that you've made. We trust that God is leading you down the path that he wants you on. Yes, we disagree, but that's neither here nor there. You know, let's keep praying for each other and even praying with each other and having conversations. Now, Susan, this is just a complete aside. The thing about Vatican II saying Catholics shouldn't read the Bible, I mean, is demonstrably false. There's a document called Dei Verbum, D-E-I-V-E-R-B-U-M. It's two words, Dei Verbum. It means the Word of God. And I don't know that this will make any difference, because it's not an intellectual thing. It's more of an emotional thing. But for your own benefit, and so in case she has questions about, you know, the Vatican II told Catholics not to read the Bible, go look it up. Go Google Dei Verbum. The Word of God, and read it, and really see how, in fact, after Vatican II, that the Catholics were more encouraged than ever to read the Bible.
And that way, you know, if she happens to bring that up again, you can say, hey, that is not true. In this year, this was stated to really encourage us all to make sure that we're reading the Bible. Jesus is the Word. And so, you know, this is not something we toss aside.
And in point of fact, every 3 years when we go to Mass, we've read the whole Bible because it's been proclaimed to us in the readings and the Gospels. So, I mean, again, that's an aside. This is more of a relational and an emotional issue. But, you know, just to give you some basic facts there to confront that particular issue.
So talk it through. But if she still seems antagonistic or hesitant, one of the things that, you know, I would encourage is still go down and visit her if she's open to that, but don't stay with her. Because what you want to do is give the relationship some air to grow. And when you're staying in someone's home, often you're just leading each other into a near occasion or an occasion of sin. You know, in this case, judgmentalism or anger. So, you know, if you don't feel like the relationship is 100% conducive to spending that time, I wouldn't be mean about it at all. I wouldn't say, well, but we're not staying with you. I'd say, look, we really want to work on this relationship and build up our friendship and our Christian love for one another. But we also want to give you space so you don't feel like we're underfoot or that we're judging you in some way. So we're going to stay at the hotel down the road and we'll set up, you know, specific times to see each other so that we're treating each other with dignity and respect.
So Susan, there's some suggestions to get things started. We do talk more about this in my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's really all about setting healthy Christian boundaries that insulate you from the drama of relationships, but leave the door open for healing and greater connection down the road. You can learn more, again, with the book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. And you can pick that up at CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks so much for the call. 877-573-7825. We're talking about relationships that are strained or even broken altogether, whether we're talking about a spouse, parents, adult children, of extended family, friends who have fallen away.
Adult children, how about the kids under your roof that you're like saying, oh, are they going to, you know, Are they going to start again today? How do I fix this? You know, it's often those kids that you have to raise that are making you feel most strained.
But if you're struggling to feel as connected as you'd like to someone you care about, to overcome a disagreement or hurt feelings that are coming between you and that person, or how to reconnect with someone who's even cut you off, how do you bridge the gap? Where do you even start? Let's help you discover those next steps toward healing. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Cheryl, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio.
Hi, Cheryl. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Yes. There has been abuse. There's mental illness. And the family has now been split.
And this is in your family of origin, Cheryl, or in the family?
My parents
that...
and siblings.
Okay, thank you. That helps.
And I have one sibling who has talked to the other ones and said they all agree with counseling. The problem is now is with they want to go to a place where I first started, and I didn't get any help from there.
Mm.
And I'm just wondering... where to help them to listen.
Cheryl, let me ask you a question here. What's your goal exactly?
Well, that's what I'm trying to get from them too, and I haven't got the right answer with that first.
I mean, Cheryl, where do you feel like you're at in your own personal healing journey?
I've made a lot of progress, but I know I got a long way to go.
Do you feel like you're strong enough to be working with them at this point? Or do you feel like you need a little more time to get stronger so that you can make sure that you're holding appropriate boundaries with them even as you're moving forward with counseling at some point?
I probably need a little more time probably to get...
Have you talked with your individual therapist about whether it's appropriate to start doing family counseling with them or not?
No, I have not.
Okay, well, that's your first thing. I mean, if before you make any steps toward building connection with the family that abused you, you really need to be talking with your therapist about whether you're strong enough or whether that's a healthy thing. I mean, I think long term, if they're open to working with you, even if some members of the family are willing to work with you to find healthier ways to interact, that can be a good thing. but in the shorter term, I can just tell from the tone of your voice and the way that you're shaking as you're talking about it that you're not ready to be in intensive ongoing therapy with your family of origin to try to heal those relationships. You need to have healthier boundaries there, and I really encourage you to talk with your individual therapist about what any kind of rapprochement with your family of origin should look like and when you might be ready to start that journey. I mean, again, it's good to have the door open in your heart to the possibility that God might want to create greater healing in your family of origin. That's a very good thing, and perhaps at some time you'd be ready for that. I can't say that you're not ready for it. I can say that I have some concerns about it that are worth talking about with your current individual therapist and making sure that that person is part of this process.
Oh, absolutely. Make sure they're part of the process. And Cheryl, you know, as Greg said, we can just hear that trepidation in your voice. And also you're saying you think you need more time. And often when we try to do a family therapy situation in a situation as devastatingly painful in origin as yours, if we don't feel strong, if we don't know what our truth is, if we haven't worked with to get to a place of real healing that can't be shaken by everybody else's version of the circumstance in the family life, it can do more harm than good. So you want to be working toward feeling solid in knowing your truth and doing real healing, whether or not you get the agreement of your truth from your family. Often, very often, when there's been this kind of abuse in a family, there's part of us that still is a little child, and we're just desperate for somebody to say, yes, you're right, this happened, and I'm sorry. It takes a long time to get a family to that place because they've all been living different versions of truth to protect themselves.
Well, and it takes you being very, very,
very strong
and clear about what happened to you. because very often with families of origin, as Lisa's pointing out, the whole focus of the family is to say, that didn't happen. You're making that up.
Or he's not this person. Or
any of those things.
It can really walk back any progress you've made. So, Cheryl, I would encourage you to prayerfully discern whether it's time to enter into family therapy for this, or if you really need to double down on healing yourself.
And make sure your therapist is a big part of that decision.
Yes.
Cheryl, thank you so much for the call. 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled The Great Divide, as we talk about strained and broken relationships. If you are struggling to connect with someone important to you, maybe because there's a disagreement or hurt feelings coming between you, or maybe things have deteriorated so much that they've even cut you off. Well, how do you bridge that gap? How do you begin to heal those strained or broken relationships? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3.
Walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have received. That is, with humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another in love, and eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
It is a lot, but it's highlighting the theme of the show, which is really that building the kingdom of God is about healing our relationships to the best of our ability. You know, as we pointed out when we were talking with Damon earlier, God doesn't expect us to do it all on our own. And even with his grace, sometimes it's not possible to heal a relationship this side of heaven. But we need to be open to the possibility, and we need to do the work that we can to heal those relationships. And even, like we were talking about with Cheryl, when the time is not appropriate to draw closer to a particular person or even our family, you know, her posture of saying, you know, if I could get stronger and get to that place, I'm open to having conversations with them. That's all that's required, right? But whatever our situation is, we need to be prayerfully looking at what we can do to increase the likelihood that we can participate in healthy, holy relationships with all the people in our lives. If you're struggling to know what that looks like for you and what the next steps would be to working toward that, let's talk it out together. The number to call is 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls right after this message. Stick around.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria mutual funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
It's extremely, I think, hypocritical. It's awful. It's so frustrating to hear these big companies saying they are so proud to pay for abortions for the employees, even pay for transportation, pay for the abortions, up to $10,000 some companies are willing to spend to send their employees to get an abortion in states that would still allow it, such as New York and California, and of course right now with all the shenanigans going on in Michigan. But what about health care? What about what about maternity care for moms? What about backing moms in other ways in the workforce as opposed to pitting them against their children? I mean, think about how sexist that is and how undignified that is to say to a woman, you can go get your abortion and then you can come back to work in a day or two. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures. CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and today's show is titled The Great Divide. As we look at those struggling, strained, and even broken relationships, how can we move toward healing? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with James, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Missouri.
Hi, James. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Good morning. I'll try to make this fairly quick. About a year ago, my wife discovered that for the last, I'll say, 14 years prior to that, that I had been hiding some pornography that I had been viewing, along with some gambling. Not excessive gambling by any means, but a little bit, and I hadn't told her all of that. Obviously, both violations of her trust. Over this last year, I've given her basically full access to my phone, computers, anything else, passwords, anything that she could possibly could think of on that. She has gone through all of that information, and within that, because of my business, I talk to a lot of people every day. She has questions about some of these people. I try to explain to her as best I can, but she feels that some of those conversations, in particular with women, feels like there's a relationship between me and those that is not there. We've been trying to work it out over the last year, but she feels like there's just such a huge violation of trust.
Can you tell me more about when you say you've been trying to work it out? You mean between the two of you, or what have you been doing?
Correct. But I've involved my pastor. She's Catholic as well. She's involved another priest at the same time. So we've had some of those conversations, but never together.
Never together. Have you gone to therapy together? Have you done any kind of, you know, marriage retreat like Retrovi?
We have not. And now, I'll say that I don't think she'd be willing to now at this point either.
When you say you don't think she'd be willing to, what do you mean?
I'll say it. There's obviously highs and lows in any division like this. Some days are better than others. Currently, over this last week or two, for whatever reason, because I'll say she doesn't have a desire to continue moving forward with me.
And are you still living in the same house?
We are.
Okay.
All right, James. You know, don't take that to heart. Here's the thing. She's been focusing, and this happens a lot with couples. She's focusing a lot on trying to feel secure by focusing on the negative. You know, how can I prove that nothing bad is going on in this relationship? And the problem with that is that you can never be completely 100% sure that everything's perfect in a relationship. And so the more you focus on it, the less secure you become. The way to heal from this, number one, is to stop doing the things, and you've done that, right? But why it's not healing beyond that point is because you're not working to build the connection between the two of you. You're not developing the skills that you need to have a stronger connection. You know, the gambling, the pornography, those were unhealthy things that you did. Those were certainly offenses. And at the same time, they were responses to a pain that you were experiencing, right? And you guys don't know how to talk about that pain with each other. You guys don't know how to talk with each other in a way that leads to deeper communion and healing and connection. And that's why you're going to need to go get professional help.
Also, the professional help will not only just help to heal your relationship, but teach you new coping skills so that you're not falling back into those things, so you can both be more sure that you won't.
And whether she wants to go or not, I want you to start going. And go work with a marriage-friendly therapist, who can do one-person marital therapy if necessary, because that is such a thing, if you're trained in it. Now, you can't just work with any old therapist who, oh, yeah, sees couples as well. That's what you get a 20% success rate with them, with folks who are actually trained and have done supervision in marriage counseling and who do one-person marital therapy because through systems theory, they have over a 90% success rate, even if you're the only one going. All right, so I want you to start. If she refuses to go at first, that's fine. Say, you know what, I love you. and I'm going to learn how to work on our relationship and to be the husband that you deserve. And when you're ready to join me, you can join me. Talk to the pastor. Talk to her pastor. And I can't imagine that there's a single pastor in the world who wouldn't encourage somebody to go to marriage counseling if their spouse is willing to do it. You have those ins. Get them to support. But don't say, well, I'm not going to go because she doesn't want to go. Take the lead in this, right? Take the lead in healing yourself and this relationship by getting the skills that you need. And if there's more that we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out to the Pastoral Solutions Institute's Pastoral Telecounseling Practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you get your marriage back on track. And that goes for you listeners as well. If you're struggling to rebuild connection in an important broken relationship, let us help. Learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's Pastoral Telecounseling Practice at CatholicCounselors.com. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchek. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.